Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
I'm going to talk about a topic today that at face value sounds like a TED Talk. It's not. And I'm going to reference some of the things about science, but I always want to be real clear on this. Science is not ahead of God. Science is catching up with God. And so when I quote scientific facts, I'm just telling you what science is starting to discover that God's known all along. He's the one that made us. He's the one that created us. He knows how we operate. He knows how we function. And this morning, I want to talk about moving away from negativity. Negativity is something that all of us deal with. And at the very end, stay with me to the very end, because at the very end, I'm going to give you a really good reason for that. You say, well, Helen, I got lots of good reasons to move away from negativity because it's negative. It's not helping me. And that's true. And thank God there's some ways we can do it. Now, when I say negativity, I'm talking about a perspective, an attitude that's gloomy, that's pessimistic, that's not affirming, that's not encouraging at all. And for the most part, all of us have a level of negativity, depending on how you were raised, depending on how you grew up, depending on the experiences you've had. We all have different levels of it. Negativity means you find typically what is wrong and you miss what's right. There was two farmers lived next to one another. One was a very positive guy, the other one was very negative, chronic negative. And, you know, the positive farmer would come out on a beautiful day like today that was supposed to be raining, but it's not. Man, I would love to be a weatherman, just wrong all the time. And everyone's like, okay, great. So he would come out, he'd say, on a beautiful day, he'd say, man, what a beautiful day. The sun is shining. And the negative guy would go, yeah, probably burn up all the crops. Or he would come out on a rainy after a rain and go, man, I'm sure glad we got this rain. And the negative guy, yeah, probably washed away all the plantings I did. He couldn't ever get this guy to say anything positive. But one day, the positive guy bought a hunting dog, a special hunting dog. And he told his wife, he said, I got him now. He's got to say something positive about this. So he invited his negative farmer friend, and they went duck hunting. They're sitting in the blinds, got his new dog there. Some ducks flew over, and the positive guy shot, and one fell right in the middle of the lake. The positive guy looked at his dog, and he went, fetch. And the dog jumped out of the blind, walked right across the top of the water, grabbed the duck in his mouth, and walked back to the blind and dropped the duck right at his master's feet. Positive guy looked over at the negative guy and go, huh? What do you think about that? And the negative guy frowned, shook his head, and went, he can't swim, can he? If you ever met someone who can find the cloud in the silver lining, that's the half-empty guy. But that's really what negativity is. It'll find what's wrong and completely miss what's missing. Or how about this? How about focusing on what's bad and completely skipping what's good? You make a post online, 50 people like it, 2 people dislike it. And you don't go, hey, 50 people like it. You focus on why do these people dislike it? What was their problem? So all day long you're ruminating, thinking about what they disliked. I've had it happen, you know, where people could come up after a message and go, hey, Pastor, that was great. We enjoyed that message. And somebody didn't like it. And so instead of going driving home thinking, isn't that great? Blessed a lot of people. I'm thinking, what was the problem with the person that didn't like it? Bless their hearts, Lord. Often when negativity is present, we don't have a good expectation for the future. You're not expecting anything. Have you ever heard people say this? Something good can be going on. You thought, man, this is great. Some great things are happening. Like, yeah. You know how it is when things are going really good. I'm looking for the other shoe to drop. The other shoe dropping is not a scripture. People hold on to it like it's a truth, and yet it's negative. I like what David said. He said, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. That's got a much better feel to it. But here's the thing. What they're finding out, and this is what science will tell you, I believe it's a product of living in a fallen world. The humans, we have a negativity bias. It's an inclination toward negativity. One guy said it this way. He said, your brain is like Velcro when it comes to negative experiences, just attaches, and like Teflon when it comes to positive ones. Just slides off and we forget. I was thinking of some of the things that were said to me years ago. Some of us can still remember things that were said to us in elementary school. Negative things that people said. That was a long time ago. But yet we still remember these things. Jesus talked about it. He didn't use the term negativity, but he did use this. He talked about your eye. He said, your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. Now, Jesus wasn't talking about cataracts or glaucoma or poor vision. He was talking about your perspective. If you have a healthy perspective, then you tend to see what's good. You're looking for what's right. Your perspective is you can find the good in things. But if you have an unhealthy perspective, then man, everything is negative. You can spot a negative. I've heard people proud of, I can walk into a room and find what's wrong. Well, I don't know that that's such a great thing. And so you have an unhealthy perspective of life. And so, man, finding the good is a lot better way to live. And finding the bad, well, you know, even though you're a believer, even though you're a Christian, if you're not careful, your mindset can still be negative. My mom was the most spiritual person in my family. She was the one who really just had a hunger for God, led our family. She loved the Lord, and she was the most negative in our family. My mom, I would come in, I'm 13, 14 years old, and I'd come in, we had a family-owned business, and I would come to my mom, and I could walk in the house and tell something's wrong. So I'd go to mom and go, Mom, is everything okay? And she'd like, you know, son, the business and our cash flow, and I just don't know if we're going to make it. Well, you tell that to a 13, 14-year-old, you're starting to think, okay, am I going to have to live on the street? Are we going to be able to eat next week? Are we going to be kicked out of our house? Your mind can ruminate on a lot of negative things. Thank God my dad was a positive guy. And I'd go down and talk to Dad. I'd go, Dad, are we going to live? And he's like, oh, yeah. He said, oh, son, and he would talk about all the good things that are going on. Look, parents, here's a tip. Your kids can't handle the negatives. They are not equipped to handle the negatives. You think you're being transparent. Their little hearts aren't ready for it. Don't tell them the negatives. Say, well, what do I tell them? How about telling them this? God will help us. He will help us. We will come out of this. He is going to be on our, he's on our side. We're going to be okay. When I think of mindset, I think of the story of a lady who was upstate New York. She's lying in bed one night. She lived by herself. She's lying in bed one night. And she heard an intruder breaking into her house. When she heard that intruder breaking in, she thought to herself, she said, I felt bad for him. And she called the police. She hid in the darkness. And when the intruder came in, she beat him with a table. She picked up a table and beat him with the table. And then when the table broke, he was on the ground. She poured a whole bottle of shampoo in his face and then beat him with a broom handle. That guy was happy when the police showed up. He was glad. Now, here's the interesting thing. The lady was 82 years old. Her name was Willie Murphy. True story. I did not make this up. True story. Name is Willie Murphy. She won the powerlifting championship for over 80 in upstate New York. This is a mentality. This woman is like, she said, I'm old, but I'm tough. Oh, yeah. But her mentality was, I felt bad for the intruder that came in. I thought, man, we need to have that mentality as a Christian. A problem arises and we're like, I feel bad for you because I'm going to tell you something. Me and God are going to come through this situation and we are going to come out on the other side. But it's a mentality. Now, here's the great news. If you're thinking, man, I don't know, Alan, I've been negative all my life. Well, the great news is that can change. And in Ephesians, this is what Paul said. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You see, when you got born again, when you made Jesus your Lord, your spirit was changed. You became a, if anyone is in Christ, he's a what? A new creation. You're a new creation. You got completely new on the inside. You're brand new, but your mind did not. And so we have to renew our minds. And so the beautiful thing is we have the ability to rewire how we think and rewire how we approach and look at things with a different attitude and a different perspective. Thank God. And we've got spiritual weapons that are even better than what science has to offer. So we've got some answers here. Now I want to show you how negativity can impact you. Here's a king in the Old Testament. His name Ahab. He's not a good king, bad king, married a mean woman named Jezebel. And I want you to see how his negativity impacted things. A man named Naboth from Jezreel, who owned a vineyard in Jezreel beside the palace of King Ahab of Samaria. One day Ahab said to Naboth, "Since your vineyard is so convenient to my palace, I would like to buy it to use as a vegetable garden. I'll give you a better vineyard in exchange, or if you prefer, I'll pay you for it." But Naboth replied, "The Lord forbid that I should give you the inheritance that was passed down by my ancestors." That actually was accurate. That was a biblical principle that they weren't supposed to do that. So Ahab went home angry and sullen because of Naboth's answer. The king went to bed with his face to the wall and refused to eat. "What's the matter?" his wife Jezebel asked him. "What made you so upset that you're not eating? I asked Naboth to sell me his vineyard or trade it, but he refused," Ahab told her. "Are you the king of Israel or not?" Jezebel demanded. "Get up and eat something and don't worry about it. I'll get you Naboth's vineyard." Mean woman. Do not name your child Jezebel if you have a girl. Ahab was a blessed man. He had a lot of things to be happy. He lived in a palace. He was the king. That means you're the boss. People aren't telling you what to do. You're telling them what to do. You've got servants. You've got people around you. You have vineyards. So he could have traded one of his vineyards for the one that was close to him. So he had vineyards. He had things. And he had money. So he wasn't hurting for anything. He was blessed, but he was disappointed because of what Naboth said. He was just disappointed. It wasn't like he got bad news that a family member was sick, or it wasn't like he heard that war was coming. He just simply was disappointed because this was a matter of convenience. It was just a want. It wasn't even a pressing need. He wanted the vineyard. It was close to him. Now here's. Honestly, what I think, and this is Alan's theory. We'll wait to heaven to see if I'm right. But Alan's theory is because this vineyard was so close to the palace, I bet he looked at that thing every day. He looked out at that thing, and you know, the more you look at something, the more you'll want it. And so if you need to stop wanting something, stop looking. I used to sell cars, and people would come in. That was years ago, guys, but I don't still sell cars. But people would come in. And I'd say, "Hey, I'm Alan. Can I help you?" And they would say, "What?" "Just looking." I said, "Yeah." And some salesman said, "Yeah, that's how it starts. Just looking." So here he was. He was looking, and he became obsessed. Ahab became obsessed at what he couldn't have instead of being grateful at what he did have. See, he could have said, "Lord, thank you. I live in a palace. I've got vineyards. I've got servants. I can go wherever I need to go. I've got money. I've got no problem. Lord, thank you. I am so blessed." But he got so focused on what he did not have, and he became sullen about it, and he went up to his bed, and he got in his bed. He turned his face to the wall. Now, you know the word had to hit the palace. Something's wrong with King Ahab. And his wife Jezebel comes up. She goes, "What's wrong, baby?" He's like, "I told Naboth if he would sell me his vineyard, he wouldn't sell me his vineyard." And she said, "Oh, baby, you're the king. You're the king. Get up and eat something. I'll get you the vineyard." She did. She actually created a conspiracy. They blamed Naboth for blaspheming God and the king, took him out, stoned him, and killed him. And Ahab took over the vineyard. His negativity impacted his family and caused a man to die. You say, "Well, my negativity doesn't, I'm not a king." Yeah, but you have a realm that you live in, and negativity can have a negative impact. But here's the good news. We don't have to be negative. We can change. We can make adjustments. We can rewire. We can begin to think differently. We can be renewed in the spirit of our minds. And you say, Alan, I've been negative all your life. Being negative simply means you have carved a pathway of negativity in your mind. But here's the good news. Thank God we can carve a brand new pathway and move away from the negativity that's just plagued us all our life. Now, let me give you just some practical things. Hold on to the positives. Now, there was a famous neuropsychologist who said, if you hold on to the positives in life, if you don't just let them go, if you hold on to them, he came up with an acronym, HEAL. Have a positive experience, enrich it, absorb it, link it. As I was looking at that, I'm like, I don't know if I understand that. I'm not a neuropsychologist. I am a pastor in Conroe, Texas. So I came up with my own acronym, and I think this would be even better. So here's something that will help you begin to retrain how we're wired and retrain how we think to begin to hold on to the positives instead of skip over it. Here's the first one. Have a scripture. The entrance of God's word gives light. You see, science says, hey, you need to have a positive experience. And God's word says, I got a whole book full of positive things that you can grab a hold of. You don't have to wait to have a good day. You can open your Bible and find out what God has said about you, and it's going to be good. In fact, it's going to be better than anyone else has said about you because it's spiritual truth and it's higher and better. And so you can hold on to it. Are you still here? Okay, good. I'm just making sure because everyone goes quiet right here. But the entrance of God's word gives light. Not darkness, not negativity, light. So H, A, absorb it. Absorb the scripture. Read it. Write it. Think about it. Now, I know we all read Bible 365. If you're new here, everyone here at the Ark reads Bible 365. It's just what we do. And I know you read that. But instead of just reading it and going past it, if you hit a scripture or something that really speaks to you, you stop and you think about it. Maybe you write it down. Maybe you go over, how does this apply to me? You're absorbing it. We like to quote a verse that Jesus said, but we like to quote half of it. This is what Jesus said. He said to those Jews who believed in him, if you abide, we could use the word absorb my word, you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you what?
Free.
It'll make you free. It'll make you free from negativity when you know the truth about what God said about you. It'll make you free. And so absorb that scripture, spend some time with it. Here's L. Lip it. I'm sorry, you had to work the acronym, guys. And so this is, it's a preacher thing. But it's not that far off. You need to speak the scripture out loud. See, this is something science doesn't talk about enough. But we know as believers, we know that death and life are in the power of the tongue. We know you can speak life or you can speak death with your mouth. Now, you know you would not put up with someone saying something negative about your kid. If the teacher in their third grade class called you and said, hey, I have little John in my class and he's really stupid, you wouldn't go, yeah, praise God, he is stupid. No, you go, what? What did you say? You wouldn't let that teacher speak those words over your child. You wouldn't let someone say something unkind about your spouse. He's like, oh, no, you don't get to say something unkind. I can say things that are unkind, but you don't get to say. No, we ought not to be saying. There is a spiritual power in our words, and we can speak words. And when you speak the scripture, you're making that connection. You're beginning to think differently. And here's the last one. It's own it. Make God's word personal. Listen, this Bible doesn't pertain to just preachers. It doesn't pertain to super spiritual people. This is God's word to you. Now can I show you an example of how to do this? That was a question. It's not a trick question. That's just a question. Okay, good. Look at this scripture. Have a scripture. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? That's my scripture. That's H. How do I absorb that? I begin to look at that and I go, man, I see five positive things there. For he himself has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Thank God I will never be abandoned. God will never leave me. He will never forsake me. I can say with confidence, I can have confidence in what God has said. The Lord is my helper. Thank God I have help. I am not helpless. I am not a victim. I have help. And I will not fear because I have the Lord helping me. I do not have to be afraid of anything. And what can man do to me? So what people do is not what's important. I have the Lord's help. What have I just done? I've absorbed that. I've spoken, I lipped it. I spoke it out loud. And it makes it more real. And I've made it personal. That's about me. This is God's word to me. This is how that works. Halo. Halo is a ring of light around the head. We need a ring of light in our head, in our mind, bringing God's light into our minds. So halo, you won't forget that one. Here's the second thing. Intentionally focus on the good. Now there's a scientific fact that we have something called a reticular activity system. They call it RAS. It is a filter system that actually filters the information that comes in. The problem is it mostly filters negative information that comes in. But you can rewire that. You can change that. We'll say, well, how do I change that? You begin to focus intentionally on what is good. You begin to look for the good. Now, here's something they talk about, and it's about gratitude. At the end of the day, sit down and write or think, at least say out loud, I like to write it. I've been doing this since Thanksgiving from last year. I write down three things I'm thankful for, at least three. Three things during my day and it causes you to be intentional. And I might write down, had a great service at church, heard from a friend and they're doing well, had a great lunch with joy. I'm just writing, I'm looking for good. And when you begin to look for good, after a while, you can begin to train yourself to see the good. You're not trying to see the negative. You're looking for the good. You're seeing the good. And then you begin to thank God out loud for it. Lord, thank you. Thank you for these things. Thank you. I'm not taking for granted. I'll pull up into my house sometimes and go, Lord, thank you. I've got a house. It has air conditioning. I appreciate it. I'm glad for it. Thank you. I got a car that drives. Thank you. You say, well, that's kind of silly, Alan. Yeah, I'm trying to move away from negativity and move over to the positive side of life. And on the positive side is I'm going to give God thanks for what he has done and what he's doing in my life. So here's the word. Now here's this. Giving thanks. This is Ephesians. This is God's word. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not giving thanks for the negative things because they didn't come from God. I'm not giving thanks for sickness. I'm giving thanks that there's healing for sickness. I'm not giving thanks for depression. I'm giving thanks that there's relief for depression. I'm thanking God for what he's done, not for what the enemy's done. So I'm giving thanks in the middle of all things. Now, people say, well, why does God want us to give thanks? Why does he ask for us to give thanks? Listen, God is not needy. God doesn't need us to give thanks. We need to give thanks. Because when we give thanks, now let's go to science again. Here's what science says. When we express gratitude, it releases hormones in our mind. One of them is serotonin. That's called the feel-good hormone. The next one is dopamine. That's the reward system. Third one is oxytocin. They call that the bonding hormone. You're thanking God. It's a trust thing. It's developing a trust in God. And not only that, it actually begins to rewire how we think. It begins to decrease the anxiety, the amygdala, which fires off at threats and negative things. It begins to calm that down. It begins to regulate us, and we begin to have a better sense of well-being. Listen, God who created us knows how we work. Science is figuring out. God knew it from the very beginning. When we give thanks, it's not for him, it's for us, because it gets our mind off of what's wrong and it gets our mind off of what's right. And it's hard to be grateful and depressed at the same time. It's hard to be grateful and negative at the same time. So you can train yourself. You say, well, Alan, I've been negative for a long time. Well, it's like you carved a pathway of negativity. But the great news is you can carve a new pathway away from negativity. It'll take a little bit. Don't just try this to go, you know, I tried that all last week, Alan. It didn't work. I need you to stay with it for a bit. They say at least 21 to 30 days. You say, well, that sounds like a lot of work. Yeah, but it's worth it. It's worth it. And I'll tell you why. Here's the big reason why. The big reason why is Because negative is not who we are. We're not the negative people. We are the positive people. So where did you get that scripture? Right here. Glad you asked. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. When I think of darkness, I don't think of positivity. I think of negativity. When your perspective is dark, it's not positive. We are children of light. Our Father is the Father of lights. There are good things going on in us. And one of the best things we can do as believers is in a negative, fearful world, we can be the light that says, I'm not fearful. I'm not afraid. I know I got a God who helps me. I'm going to be positive in the middle of this. And it's not just being positive for positive sake. It's being positive because as representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to shine our lights in the dark world and let people see, hey, listen, there is a better way to live. There is hope. You don't have to live negative. And a few years ago, the Secretary of the United Nations, Ban Ki-moon, was talking to a group of diplomats and leaders. And he had a sheet of white paper, and he flipped it over. It's a big sheet. He took a red marker, and he made a circle, a marker right in the middle of it, a dot. And then he stepped back, and he asked these diplomats and leaders, he said, what do you see? And they, every one of them said, a red dot. He said, that's the problem. He said, all of you saw a red dot, and all of you missed the vast expanse of white space all around it. He said, as leaders and diplomats, we keep seeing the wrong thing. We keep seeing the crisis. We keep seeing the lack. We keep seeing the problems. And we're missing the potential, the progress. We're missing the peace that's existing, the massive amounts of that. And when I saw that and read that, I thought, I don't want to be a red dot Christian. I don't want to be a red dot Christian. We get so focused sometimes on where we miss it, on where our weaknesses are, where we struggle, where we think God is, and we keep focusing on the weaknesses, and we're missing all the riches of the glory of being in Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you causing you to be a new creation. Christ in you causing you to be the head and not the tail. Christ in you causing you to be blessed and not cursed. Christ in you causing you to be more than the conqueror. Christ in you causing you to be a child of light. Don't miss all of the greatness of God focusing on the weakness of you. God's too good. What He's done in us is too powerful for us to focus on the negative. Let's move away from negativity. Let's move toward the light. Move toward God. Move toward His Word. Oh, it'll benefit you. It'll benefit your family. It'll benefit the world around us. Let's be lights in the dark world. Would you bow your head with me for a moment? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one's looking around. If you're here and you say, you know, Alan, I appreciate this, but I don't even know where I stand with the Lord. I'm not sure. Or maybe you're one that said, I used to have a walk with the Lord and I've gotten away from Him, but I want to come back. And whether you're online or whether you're here, there's prayers for you. We're not going to have you stand up or come to the front. We are going to say a prayer, and I'm going to ask you to do one thing. If either one of those situations apply to you and you say, I want to come to the Lord or I want to come back to Him, would you pray for me? Would you slip your hand up and wave it at me just real quickly? Thank you. Thanks. Thank you. Anyone else? Say, Alan, that's me. Just pray for me. Put your hands down. Now, maybe you didn't lift your hand, and obviously if you're online, I can't see you. Maybe you didn't lift your hand, but you're thinking, man, I need this. You can pray this prayer with us. This is a heart prayer. I'm going to lead you in it. Pray it out loud. If you're by yourself at home, pray it out loud. If you're watching with others, pray it quietly. But here in this church, we're going to pray it out loud. Say, Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe You're the Son of God. I believe You died on the cross for my sins. And God raised You from the dead. Right now, I confess You as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank You, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with You. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you. With head still bowed just for a moment. Heavenly Father, thank you for those who prayed that prayer here and online. Lord, thank you for those who've come to you for the very first time and for those who've come back. And we rejoice with them. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing in them and through them and the potential that they have in you. It's immeasurable. Thank you for that. Father, for the rest of us, those who know you, thank you. We can make moves away from the negative and continue to walk in the light. We'll give you all the praise for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.